It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. Jason Kahn here as well this morning on the show. Michael Lombardi will join us. We'll do this in reverse order. Michael Lombardi will join us towards the end of the show, right before the Lombardi line, to field, and I do mean all my ground balls of NFL questions. Got a whole bunch coming up on the show. Chrissy Andrews will be here as well, my mishpucha, who doesn't usually show up on the show on Wednesday, but he is here because BYU ends up number 14 in the initial college football rankings, which is as we were doing primetime action last night with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin, I saw it come across the screen. I'm like, 14. Wonder what they would be neutral field against all 13 teams above them in the rankings. So we'll get Chrissy in here to give us his lines on BYU versus all 13 teams above them in the initial college football rankings, the first of five for this very strange 2020 college football season. Jason Weingarten making his weekly futures appearance. Jason writes a column every week in Point Spread Weekly, his favorite futures bets that he's making on that particular week across the sports landscape. Not sure what he has in store for us, but he's got something coming up. And Greg Hoops Peterson making his 2020 debut on the show, an encyclopedia of basketball knowledge. We'll get his picks for today in college basketball games starting this morning. He's got picks. We'll go through that. We'll go through his season-long thoughts as well, including, should you even bet totals at all here early in the season? Is that even worth it? With no home court, not knowing how referees are going to behave, we'll get his thoughts on that coming up. But first, by the way, Mike Glennon starting at quarterback for the Jaguars on Sunday. Mike Glennon, as John Gruden used to call him, Mike Glennon, making his his starting debut this year. Mike Glennon will be in the lineup for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They host the Cleveland Browns. That just came across this morning as well. Speaking of football, let us start there. And let us begin with the notion of Survivor. Let's start there. 209 entries left in Circa Sports Survivor. 209 from a 1,390 start. And, of course, you know about the Thanksgiving quirk this weekend. Got to pick one of these games. Got to pick one of these teams in one of these three games. Here is your Circa Survivor availability matrix results, or what it is right now, going into tomorrow's games. These are the percentage of players who still have these teams available, and it really does spark all kinds of strategic thoughts. If you have multiple entries, do you split them up and ensure advancement, or do you keep, if you have multiple entries, and this just applies to a handful of folks, by the way, this is reflective of other Survivor pools, that's why we focus here on this, but you don't have to be in this one. Obviously, the Thanksgiving quirk is unique to Circa specifically, but just in general, the strategy applies to all Survivors. If you have Survivor pools, if you have multiple entries, just apply it to the whole week, but in the case of Circa Survivor, if you have two or three, do you split them up on one game, ensuring advancement? And if so, which game do you do it on? Because you may not have availability, say, on that Baltimore-Pittsburgh. See, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, 42.6% of entries have Baltimore left, 20.6%, just a little more than 1 in 5 have the Steelers left. The other four teams, Houston, basically 3 out of 4 have them left. Detroit, only one of the 209 has used them. Washington, 0 out of the 209. Dallas, 14 out of the 209 have been used. So those are obviously widely available. But Jason, I say to you, what's the answer to the question? Do you split up multiple entries and ensure advancement, or do you go for broke? Keep in mind, as I've said from the beginning, the name of this game is actually, it's a misnomer. It should not be called Survivor. It gets people into the mentality of, oh, the object is to survive. The object is to win. And maybe sacrificing this early is not the way to go. What would you do?
Well, I think you've got to split. If you have the ability to split, you've got to split. I think the best pick on the board is Pittsburgh. And I think there's too much uncertainty around.
Skill Alexander. Sorry. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network. Look at you knowing where to pull.
That wasn't awkward at all.
Sirius XM Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. Not awkward at all, Jason. Just a very strange pause in your sentence. Well, I guess what I'm getting at is, right, there's a lot of Survivor veterans like myself who would say, and we've been doing this for years and years and years, who might say, you know, splitting, yes, you'll survive. And maybe that is the way to go. Especially, here's the thing, if these games weren't coin flippy, and I get it, the spreads don't indicate it's a coin flip, but you get the idea. Very competitive games, you can make a case for both sides in all of them. If they weren't coin flippy, I would probably tell you in a heartbeat, don't split them up. The nature of them being coin flippy makes me give a little bit of a nod to the notion of splitting them up and ensuring advancement. But I do think there are some Survivor veterans who would tell you it's a loser's mentality to split them up.
Well, it could really be a loser's mentality if you lose them both.
It could be. But think about the power play it is if you survive this gauntlet, talking last Sunday, Thanksgiving, and this coming Sunday, with multiple entries still intact after that. That would be the ultimate advantage moving forward.
It would be, but it's a roll, you know, it's a roll of the dice.
I know, but if you don't take a shot at somebody, if you take a chance, I'm just telling you there's two sides to the story here.
Sure.
There's two sides to the story. Most people, the knee jerk would be, no, you just absolutely, you 100% split them up and do it. There's nothing 100% Survivor.
It's unfortunate you don't have Pittsburgh because I think that's probably the best play.
Here's the thing. Pittsburgh, Baltimore is in doubt to some degree.
It's true too.
Right? If Baltimore has, you know, I don't know what the NFL's threshold is. They're clearly not trying to postpone any more games because we saw what happened when they did so with the Titans earlier in the year with that breakout. They had to come up with eight different variations of games moving around. Eight dominoes had to fall to get the, you know, games back intact in the schedule. But the NFL already kind of said yesterday, if we have any more, we can't do this. And there was a couple more, and they didn't say anything, right? They're trying to play this game. It's prime time on Thanksgiving night. But for Survivor participants, can you risk this after 11 weeks? Can you even if you have Baltimore and Pittsburgh available, can you actually play this game comfortably, knowing that it could be scuttled to, even if it goes, remember, if it goes to Sunday, it's out on Survivor.
Yeah, I didn't actually consider that. That's just from if they did play the game perspective. But you're right. You have to handicap whether or not they're even going to play the game. Deadline is tonight, right?
Deadline is tonight. Once again, 10 p.m. Pacific.
So
10 p.m. Pacific Wednesday, 1 a.m. Eastern Thursday is the deadline tonight in Circa.
You almost have to handicap the uncertainty and go with, you know, there's so much uncertainty around that game. There's so much uncertainty around Dallas. There's so much uncertainty around Detroit. You really, I think, just have two plays that aren't uncertain.
Houston, I think it's all
and Washington.
It's all uncertain.
But you at least know what
you said. Houston and Washington.
Well, yeah, Detroit and Dallas. You've got all of the uncertainty around the injury report with Detroit.
Detroit certainly has a lot of injuries.
So if you're going to take Detroit, you're betting on that uncertainty.
That's
right. You're taking that uncertainty. Dallas. There's all that. Who knows what happened yesterday? The uncertainty around the unfortunate personal tragedy that happened there. There's a lot of uncertainty.
See, some people would argue with you right now and say, wow, Houston and Washington are the sure bet.
Only ones that you know what you're getting. It may not be better than the uncertainty, but at least you know who the quarterback is. You know that there's no injuries. You know that Houston's not playing terribly.
I'm just saying most people would have said what you said, but would have said Houston and Dallas are the certain ones.
But
and that's my point.
Just got rocked yesterday. We just don't know what happened in Dallas yesterday with the coaching situation. No,
but you could make it just as easy of case of, you know, there's so many people be like, oh, that will rally them, right? I mean, I don't think that's something you can handicap.
But that's the uncertainty that I would avoid, you know, that's the uncertainty I'm looking to avoid.
Washington did crush Dallas the first time they played this season. It was Andy Dalton. We know Andy Dalton got concussed in that game as well. It was Kyle Allen for Washington. 25-3. Dallas scored their three early.
I think Washington's actually probably the best play.
Washington matches up very well with them defensively.
If I were you and it was just a roll of the dice, I would go Washington, because if you're going to go down, you want to go down with your team.
First of all, that's the second team you've said, if I were you, in 2 days to recommend to me. You said someone else yesterday. I believe you said Houston. Was that not you who said Houston?
Well, it's one of those two.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But so, yesterday, the Dallas news came out yesterday.
The most rich part of Survivor is the person who gets through all these weeks that gets unsolicited advice from everybody, who gives them a different team every day. Hey, you know who I would pick if I were you?
Well, you're tomorrow. Not me. Tomorrow it'll be. Well, yeah. It would be Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I think, is really the safest play on the board for the 20% of the people that still have.
I will tell you this. I don't have Pittsburgh. Four out of five
then
people in this.
COVID uncertainty. I just keep forgetting that.
Four out of five people in this Survivor do not have Pittsburgh. I don't have Pittsburgh. But even if I did, I don't think I can play that game now.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think I can.
Playable. There's too much risk involved, too much uncertainty. There's just uncertainty around all of these games.
We'll leave this with this. There's 209 entries left in this particular Survivor. How many entries of those 209 do you think, actually knowing the percentages, right? Because not everybody can play them to begin with, they're not available. But knowing the percentages, how many of those 209 do you think actually pick a team in this game?
Pick a team in the Pittsburgh game?
Yes. Knowing who has available 42.6% and 20.6% respectively, and knowing the uncertainty of possibly getting the game pushed back.
I feel like that Pittsburgh number was higher earlier in the week, so maybe a lot of people have picked Pittsburgh already.
Give me a number out of 209.
50.
Ooh, I think that's too high.
It's probably too high.
Wait,
25.
Way too high.
Yeah, I just was 10%.
All right.
10 to 20%. So 25 to 30.
I'm just gonna tell you right now. I have no idea who I'm picking. Yeah. It's literally later tonight.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But it will not be
the
Baltimore or Pittsburgh.
Tomorrow on a Thanksgiving episode.
It will not be Baltimore or Pittsburgh. That's the only thing I can say to you with certainty. It will certainly not be Pittsburgh, because I don't have them, but it will not be Baltimore. And so that game is off the board for me. It'll be one of the other four, and God help us all. Godspeed for everybody left. And by the way, in Sunday as well, even if you get by tomorrow, remember, I've been calling it the gauntlet, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, it is still very much up in the air. Let's talk about the Megapod yesterday. Todd Wishnev, Mike Palm, Megapod Staples, and myself, we go to the D each and every Thursday is when we typically do it, but because it's Thanksgiving week, we did it early this week. The D, home of the Megapod, live studio audience. For anybody who wants to come down there. Yesterday's guest, Chris Velika, the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day, who added his pro football thoughts.
It was so much fun. It was great to have him on the
So great. So great. Just a bunch of friends talking football. I will provide my Megapod picks here. These are the we only give our three best bets and our teaser play. My three best bets really are kind of what I went with on guessing lines. My first reaction this week... It should be noteworthy that none of them, of course, are Thanksgiving games. Would want no part of those. In fact, let me just say, I closed the show by saying, you know, the last question was, what's the game you want no part of? If you lived in a bizarro world and you were forced to pick a side in every single one of the NFL games, and there are no buys this week, you were forced to pick a side in every game, but you were allowed one free pass. Houston-Detroit might be my game where I would want no part of that.
Understandable.
And to think that that's one of the two games I have to choose from in Survivor, I mean, that just says it all. But the three that I came up with, again, if you missed guessing lines, kind of what I thought the lines that were the most off then kind of apply here. Titans plus 3.5. If you're giving me more than three in this game, Titans at Colts, the rematch. Remember, the Colts doubled them up on Thursday night, a couple Thursdays ago. I'm all about the Titans at plus 3.5. That's absolutely one of my three best bets this weekend. That'll be a contest pick. I will bet that as well. Haven't yet, but that will be in my account. Cardinals minus 2.5. Same applies there. That will be a circa contest pick for me as well. I will bet that. As long as that's under 3 against the Patriots, I do not get that, by the way. Burkhead out for the year now, he says. So there's another loss for the Patriots in what has already been a strange season with opt-outs. And the shoddy play, or the choppy play, I should say, of Cam Newton. And then the other one is the Chiefs at minus 3.5. And this is one of those where it's sort of like, all right, if you can beat me, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, after that performance the other night, tip of the cap to you, as we showed on the video that we put out. By the way, the Megapod is out now. But Chiefs minus 3.5 is the call for me there. Those are the three. And I liked them Monday. I like them now. That Tampa Bay performance, I don't know if we harped on it enough yesterday. I think we did. But for those who missed it, I had Tampa Bay tickets in that Monday night game. I think the Rams should have blown them out of the water for all kinds of reasons. And Tampa Bay now 0-4 against top 10 defenses. Not that the Chiefs fall into that category. But I'll take Patrick Mahomes over Tom Brady.
If you really want no part of that Texans-Lions game, then don't you really kind of have to pick either Washington or Dallas for Survivor?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Because Washington and Dallas would be in the same conversation, too. I don't know. I mean, injury reports are going to be huge here. And neither one. I mean, look, they couldn't have set this up. I asked Mike Palm yesterday. I was like, look, when you guys chose the Thanksgiving Day quirk in this, did you look at the three games and think to yourself, oh, these games are going to be impossible? Or is there any way to know that before the season? He kind of indicated that they had considered it. I don't know how much you can consider it before a season. It just kind of shook out the way it did, where the Texans ended up being pretty meh, and I'm being kind. Detroit, same thing. Stafford injury, all these injuries across the board. It looks like Swift is going to try to play. I don't know. Let me rephrase that. He's not going to try to play. He's just still a possibility. Galladay looks like he's going the other direction. Galladay looks like he's not going to play.
And Matt Stafford is probably really hurt if he got shut out last week. Like, I'm wondering if he's just playing, even though he kind of probably shouldn't be playing.
Well, and you didn't have Galladay, you didn't have Amendola, he didn't have Swift. I mean, at some point, if you don't have bodies, you can't really make that assessment either, right?
That's true.
Yeah,
but he is hurt.
He is hurt.
And we really don't know.
He is hurt,
and he's been kind of fighting injuries all year long.
But how many times have we woken up on Thanksgiving morning thinking that the Lions are just going to get crushed? And then the Lions have this very
David Blau comes.
Not even David Blau. They just, even in bad seasons where they've just had a great performance on Thanksgiving. I can remember several of those in my lifetime.
Yeah, none of those were Matt Patricia seasons, but I get your point.
That's true. But they were other coaches of great fame.
Not that they were yet.
Yeah.
Higher caliber necessarily.
The teaser I ended up going with had nothing to do with Stanford Wong teaser legs. Not technically Stanford Wong teaser legs. Remember, with Wong teaser legs, it's short favorites and short dogs teased up through the 3-7. Home favorites teased down through the 7-3. But home schmome, right? Home field advantage isn't anything this year. So I am going Dolphins and Rams. Two road favorites the Dolphins are a road favorite. The Rams are, in fact, a home favorite. Teasing them down to essentially beat the Niners in the Rams' case, and in the Dolphins' case, to essentially just beat the Jets. Tease them down from 7-1. So not Stanford Wong teaser legs, but just asking those teams to win. Who's going to beat me of those two if I'm going to get beaten? If I come to you from the future and I said I lost, who beats me? Jets or Niners? Don't be so quick to say Niners.
Might. I mean, the Jets won't. The Niners might. I actually placed a teaser on the Rams and the Chargers yesterday, but I think all four of you picked the Rams, or at least three of you picked the Rams yesterday on the Megapod.
What did you go?
Very popular play.
What did you go? Rams Chargers.
Rams Chargers. Yeah, they were. I got them up to 11.5.
You just went off the board completely. You're like, but you know what? Chargers are a great teaser pick.
Yeah,
they are. Aaron Schatz again. We'll have them on next week at the 3-quarter mark of the season, the quarter pole. They are the most consistent team in football from week to week in terms of overall performance. They never lay an egg.
And they
never
haven't lost by more than one score. So I'm getting 11 points as half of the teaser leg. You know, I'm more worried about the Rams laying an egg than I am.
That's right. They will break your heart time and time again, but they will cover your teaser leg. Even that one time, remember where they decided to kick the extra point a couple weeks back to get it within 8? What was that against Buffalo, was it? I can't remember. No, that's Buffalo this week. Who was it again when they did that? I can't remember. But they got it to within 8. The Chargers did, as opposed to doing new school thing where you go for 2 first, right?
It was last week or 2 weeks ago they played, they covered 8 against, I can't remember.
Anyway, we'll get to the answer of that. But the point is that they get it done all the time. So to tease them, even though it's not like a typically historically solid teaser leg to do that, it's just kind of randomly done. The point is that they are always within one score. That's the deal. So teasing them to 11.5, not a bad move here in 2020. So that's the deal.
It was the Dolphins.
It was the Dolphins. That's right. Was it? That's right. The Dolphins sort of manhandled.
The Dolphins, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, by the way, I would think that I have a feeling the Jets would be the team to upend my teaser. I have a feeling.
Boy, I don't. We'll see.
Well, I'm just saying. I don't think I will be. That's why I'm making
there's
a teaser.
There's some confusion in the quarterback's seat in Miami, so nobody really knows what to expect out of that.
All right. But you would pick, so bottom line then on Survivor, before we get out of here to this break here and get to Greg Peterson, you would go, in the end, you would go, today you're saying you would go Washington.
Based on the information available today, I think Washington's the play.
I'm going to ask Lombardi the same question. Forget all the other questions, Michael. Who's your favorite side tomorrow?
Yeah. Lombardi knows what's going on in Dallas, so, or he might.
Well, I don't know. It's one of four. I definitely will not take Baltimore. I definitely will not take Pittsburgh. So what makes it so interesting. You asked me how many entries you think will be remaining of the 209 after Sunday. I think it will be fewer than 100.
Yeah, I think 50% are going to be gone.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Wouldn't that be something, though, if like somehow it worked out where this group who has been so resilient was way more resilient through this gauntlet than we would have predicted. And we're like, no, there's still 150 people left. That would be crazy.
Yeah, but I think people have such a breadth of entries that there won't be like that won't probably be possible because it'll be spread out amongst the six.
Fewer than 100. That's the prediction. Yeah, for sure. Should be fun. It's pure torture, by the way. I think that's what I'm trying to convey. This is torture. Thanksgiving, this whole process is torture. Greg Peterson, college basketball, coming up right here on A Numbers Game. Jason Weingarten, Chris Andrews, and of course, Michael Lombardi, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. I'm a survivor.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With exciting college and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN's reporting live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of all the best games. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. As always, please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander, by the way, was referring to my Megapod picks last segment. That's the Beating the Book podcast, available where all podcasts are distributed, part of the iHeart podcast network. That's where you can check that out. Chris Felica, Todd Wishnev, Mike Palm this week. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Happy Thanksgiving to this young man who was part of our 452-page 2020-21 college basketball betting guide with an analysis for all 357 Division I teams. Maybe just randomly throughout the next segment or two, I'm just going to throw a team or two at him and just to display his encyclopedic knowledge of basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Greg Hoops Peterson, one of the people behind this wonderful college basketball betting guide. Good morning to you, Greg. How are you, man?
Gil, I am doing fantastic. It's as if we had Christmas taken away from us several months ago in March, and it has come back today. So it is just absolutely a superb day to be alive.
Greg, you're going to have to bring more energy to the show. That's the first thing. We got to get that out of the way. This is you have been waiting for this day for so long, college basketball on our TV screens. Before we get into any of that, I think people want to know, who have heard you on this show before, what's the love life like? Are you a single man? What's happening with the dating apps? Where does all that stand? Let's get that out of the way first.
Presently, I am very committed. I am committed in a very, very deep and tremendous relationship with college basketball.
Oh,
8.5 months and counting. We have been preparing for this day. You know what? There was a lot of build up to it. So right now we are hitting our peak when it comes to the relationship status.
And her name is college basketball. All right. Well, that wasn't quite as exciting an answer as I was looking for, but okay. This is obviously the short segment here. So we're going to get all your picks, not all your picks, because God help us. I know you have too many picks, but we'll get your best bets for today coming up on the show. I want to get your more macro thoughts on betting the season in general, as I did with Matt Eumanns yesterday. But one question here before the break. And Wes Reynolds brought this up on Primetime Action last night. We didn't really get to this yesterday on a numbers game. The notion of totals here early in the season, just in general, and I guess we'll find out if you've made some totals bets here coming up. But he brought up, I think, a great point, which dovetails with the fact that there is no home court advantage. We're not going to have home court advantage nearly in the same way in a sport that is so about home court advantage, with all of the student body cheering on their favorite team or their school team. Can you make assessments on how refs are going to call these games now? Because without the fans right on top of them, one could assume they'll be more objective. After all, they're humans. They're supposed to be objective. But if you don't have a home crowd on top of you, maybe it will be that much more fair for road teams. Does that shy you away from totals early in the season?
It really does not. The way that I'm going to be viewing these is much like a ref would call maybe like a Maui Invitational game. Maybe what used to be the Battle for Atlantis, it's now known as the Crossroads Classic, was supposed to be taking place in the Bahamas. Now it's at tournament out there in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm really just taking this as if it's a completely neutral court environment. And that's really the way that you've got to play it, because refs have been sort of in these situations. Many of these guys, they wind up doing things like AAU games, just like these players are used to playing without fans or very limited fans, where they're playing in front of scouts, they're playing in front of their friends and family in these AAU type settings. So I don't think it's going to be as weird as a lot of people think. But with that said, you certainly don't have the Cameron Crazies. You don't have the Kennel. You don't have all these people that are going to be yelling and screaming if there's a missed call. So I really do think that there is something to that. And you just have to take it how you typically wind up looking at refereeing when it comes to one of those games in a very remote place where there is no advantage for either team.
It's interesting. Somehow I thought I knew you would answer that way. Real quick, give me 20 seconds. Texas Rio Grande Valley Vaqueros. Quick.
Javon Levi is who you got to watch out for. Over 7.5 assists per game. They were catching 20 points against Texas last I saw. I think that's a very good spot for the Vaqueros.
Unbelievable. Get throw any one of these teams randomly.
What's a vaquero?
It's a vaquero, first of all, to the both of you. For God's sakes, pronounce it correctly. 5,000 to 1 to win it all. I have not talked to Greg about any of this. I'm just going to randomly throw teams out at him in between his picks. We'll come back. I want to talk more about your futures plays, what you've made here, what long shots people ought to take. We'll do that next before we get to your picks today. Greg Peterson right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
This holiday shopping weekend is the perfect time to sign up for VSiN. New subscribers get 25% off the regular price of annual all-access membership, plus a $30 credit to the VSiN store. How about that? Subscribe today and you'll get our brand new College Hoops Guide, which is overflowing with everything you need for the season, our daily best bets emails, Point Spread Weekly, 24/7 video streaming, and the chance to pick up a stylish new VSiN t-shirt, mug, or hat for the holidays. Don't miss this deal. Huge annual savings plus a $30 credit to use on great VSiN gear. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. You could tell when I was talking about Survivor, it's just the weight of it just bogging me down. So I'll just have to go into my own cocoon and make a pick, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. We are here on Thanksgiving, by the way. You and me, Jason, we are here, baby.
We sure are with
yes.
The team.
That'll be fun tomorrow morning. I don't know. We'll see who we can wrangle on Thanksgiving morning to be on the show. We should have fun. I don't know. Maybe we'll eat on set. I don't know. Could be. Just have no idea. Does that go against Sisalak's guidelines? Can we eat on set? Is that not allowed?
We'll have to get approval.
All right. By the way, I mentioned earlier that the quarterback change has been made in Jacksonville. It's going to be Mike Glennon. as Gruden used to say. Mike Glennon is getting the start for the Jaguars, hosting the Browns. Browns are 6.5-point favorites in that game. I failed to mention Brandon Allen has gotten the start for the Bengals over Ryan Finley. Brandon Allen, who's had the peripatetic career, played for the Jags, played for the Rams, played for the Broncos, now with the Bengals. He's your starter, Cincinnati. And in that game, the Giants are 5.5, even 6-point favorites in some shops at Cincinnati in that. More with Greg Peterson. Greg, quick, Dixie State Trailblazers, go.
They shot over 40% from three-point range at the D2 level last year. They are one of four teams that are coming up from the D2 level to the D1 level, and they're over 40% from three-point range. That would have been second best at the D1 level if they would have played there last year. The only team at the D1 level to shoot over 40% from three-point range last year, the BYU Cougars.
You are insane. Insanely good is what I mean, Greg. All right, so we'll get to your picks here today, because I know college basketball was a full day affair today, and Humans gave us some picks yesterday. I'm curious to see if you match with those or if you have some others. But first, from a season long perspective, just for giggles here, give me who you ended up as your top five power ranked teams headed into the season, as seen in the college basketball betting guide. Who'd you have 1 through 5?
Number one, we had to go with Virginia in this one. I really think that this is a team that is going to be just an absolute power this year. And a reason why I think they're going to be so good is because they just played that distinct pack line defense. When you take a look at what you're going to be able to get out of Virginia, you've got a guy in Sam Hauser that was in the system for a full year. So unlike these transfers that they're going to be eligible immediately, but they never really practice with their team, like a Carlick Jones over there at Louisville, he's had a year to absorb this system. I think that that's going to be big. We saw the way that Virginia wound up ending last year. And as Ric Flair says, in order to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. And Virginia, technically, still a champ, as nobody wound up winning the 2020 NCAA tournament. I've got Virginia at number one. Number two, I went with Baylor. You bring back Macy Oteague along with Jared Butler. Butler is a guy that shoots right around 40% from three-point range. He's able to dole out a couple of assists. Davion Mitchell came over from Auburn. He does a great job when it comes to that backcourt as well. Now, they do wind up losing Tristan Clark going into the season. He was actually a top-five player when it came to field goal shooting percentage before he went down with a tragic injury midway through the 2018-19 season. But Mark Vital, he is absolutely vital to what they do on defense. He is superb. You wind up bringing in a couple transfers, including Adam Flagger, who wound up averaging over 16 points per game as a freshman for Presbyterian. He sat out last year. Now he's going to be in the fold. Number three, we've got Villanova. With them, they've got a senior point guard by the name of Gillespie, who's going to be able to do just an absolutely terrific job with Colin Gillespie. He had an assist to turnover ratio north of 2, shoots in the mid-30s from three-point range. You wind up adding in there Caleb Daniels. Now, Brian Antoine is dealing with an injury. If they're able to get him healthy, that's going to be big, because he was a former top 20 recruit, a five-star guy. You don't find them too often at Villanova. At number four, this is before the news of Andrew Nembhard being eligible immediately, I went with Gonzaga. With the news of Andrew Nembhard being eligible, I would now leap them up to number two, because with Nembhard, well, he was at Florida last year, gave the team 11 points, shot 35% from three, right around 5.5 assists per game. So he's going to be able to help out that offense. You bring in Jalen Suggs, highest recruit ever that Gonzaga's been able to bring in. You bring back Corey Kispert, a guy that shot 43% from 3-point range. Joel Ayayi's going to be able to give you right around 6.5 rebounds, 3 assists per game out there in the backcourt. And then you wind up just having so many of these guys that didn't necessarily see a bunch of minutes, but they were able to absorb the system with Phil Petrusev out of the fold. They're going to be able to step up, including Timmy. So I think that Drew Timmy is going to be able to do a good job down low. And then at number five, I wound up picking Illinois. They're my top-rated Big Ten team. Io DeSumo, Kofi Coburn, both of those guys coming back after they wound up flirting with the NBA draft and deciding, you know what, we're going to give it one last dance. They are going to make this team very good. And with Illinois as well, this is a team that last year they really embraced going down low a little bit more. They wound up going away from that full court press, and they did a very good job. And I think that Georgi Bezhvanishvili, the gentleman that comes over from Europe, he's going to be able to do a terrific job down low after he sputtered a little bit in his sophomore year last year.
Greg Peterson, our guest right here on the Numbers Game at VSiN, one of the great people behind our college football, our college basketball betting guide. All right, we have 90 seconds here. Give me two long shot plays to win it all in a quirky, weird season. As we know, 2020 will be already is here on day one with some games scuttled. Who should people bet long shot to win it all? What would be good tickets to have in pocket?
Now, I will preface this with this right now. I have not bet any futures myself. It's one of these markets in which I'm staying away from. I'd be taking a look at pretty much anything in which you're getting big time plus money. NC State is coming to mind. You're going to be able to get them at north of 100-1. This is a team that I think is badly undervalued. I think that they're really going to be able to have a nice year when it's all said and done. I think that they're going to be a top 25 team that makes the Sweet 16. And then I'm taking a look at Memphis as well. Memphis is a team that I think when it's all said and done is going to be a top 25 team. Moussa Cisse winds up coming into the fold. You wind up having a bunch of these guys that were a part of that big bomber 2019 recruiting class wind up coming back. James Wiseman got all the attention, but how about a guy like Lester Quiones? How about a guy like Boogie Ellis? Both of them are back there in the backcourt. So those are the two I'd be looking at. Like I said, the futures market is something I really don't want any part of, but I think that there's good value on both of those teams.
Greg, I like the honesty. Honesty is key. So Greg has not made any of those plays, but that's what he would, if you were, those are the ones you are making, just to be clear about it. Humans had Memphis yesterday, though. Humans made a bet on Memphis. So they're simpatico on that, if I'm not mistaken.
Humans had
he had him at 100-1 and also had Memphis in their ball game here today. So we'll see if Greg is on that as well. Coming up right after the break, Greg's picks of the day. A whole bunch, double-digit amount of games scuttled in college basketball, but a whole bunch more getting played. Coming back right here on the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on any Thanksgiving Day football game tomorrow and a touchdown is scored in any of the games played tomorrow, Thursday, Thanksgiving. Sign up and use bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of the offer. Get ready for showtime. Download the app today. Use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 if a touchdown is scored on Thanksgiving. New customer offer. Paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Later on the show, I mentioned Chrissy Andrews is going to join us to talk about not the college football rankings, but specifically the fact that BYU ended up 14th. I asked Chrissy, I was like, could you give me a line on a neutral field for BYU against all 13 teams ahead of them? Well, one of those teams, number 7 Cincinnati, just had their game with Temple canceled this weekend. So Saturday's game between Cincinnati and Temple, off the board, dunzo, no plans to make it up, as far as I can tell. So that's the deal there. 17 games today in college basketball postponed, but there's a whole bunch more to get played, and Greg Peterson is here. Greg, what is your Twitter for everybody, by the way?
At GUnit underscore 81.
Quick, Tarleton State Texans, go.
They are coached by Billy Gillespie. Yes, if you're wondering, is that the Billy Gillespie that used to be out there with Kentucky? You betcha. They come in from the Lone Star Conference of the Division II ranks. They're making their way up to the D1 level. They're looking to really build things up with Caleb Starks. Spent a little bit of time out there with LSU. He also was a former Northwestern State Demon. He winds up transferring into the program. Not a team that I necessarily have high expectations for, but they wind up joining the WAC. And because they're a living, breathing team, I have them rated ahead of Chicago State.
Wow, there you go, because they have a pulse.
Where is Tarleton State?
Tarleton State's in Texas, right?
Is it?
Yep, they are the Texans.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. It's Tarleton State. People thought I was probably making up a team. Hey, so Greg, literally, would there have been a team of the 357 that I could have just thrown out there and you would have been stumped on? Seriously, any one of them?
I wound up doing a write-up on every one of them. I'm prepared on all of them. Even
amazing.
The Ivy League teams.
Yeah, the Ivy League was decided, well, we're actually not going to play. They were the first ones to cancel, if we remember, their little four-team tournament back in March. They were the first conference to say, we're not playing this. And they were the first and the only one to say this winter, yeah, we're just not even going to try doing this at all. All right, today, you're as happy as they come. A whole bunch of college basketball and games tip off. The first games tip off in 12 minutes. What? I don't know. We got time. Give me your best bets on the day. You can start wherever you want, sir.
I'm taking a look at this West Virginia versus South Dakota State game. When I went to bed around like 4 a.m. and I woke up about like an hour ago, so I got like 2 hours worth of sleep. I was seeing the total right around 146. I'm sure that it's went down a little bit, but if you're getting anything north of 140, West Virginia versus South Dakota State, take this game under, because you've got Oscar Tshiebwe along with Derek Culver. These two guys are absolutely magnificent down low for West Virginia. And when you think West Virginia, a lot of people think, oh, look at that pressing style. Look at how many players they are using, all these fouls and everything like that. When in reality, this is a team that they want to play a much slower style. They don't have anyone that's able to throw it in from three-point range. They're going to be hopefully getting in a little bit of something from Kadrian Johnson. He comes in from the JUCO level, according to JUCORecruiting.com, a top 10 player at the lower level. And then South Dakota State, they certainly do have a pair of guys in Matt Dettlinger, who is able to do a very solid job along Douglas Wilson of throwing it in the basket. Both these guys shot over 62% from the floor, but with West Virginia, I think that they're going to create a whole lot of havoc. I think it's going to make this game slow and sloppy. I think it's going to be tough for either team to get to 70, so I'm taking a look at that under.
Taking a look at the under. South Dakota State, they're playing basketball. Got a whole bunch of COVID, but their governor's beautiful, so they're playing basketball. That's how they go in South Dakota. Under, what's the number you're seeing right now, Greg, on that?
I'm seeing right around like 145 to 146-ish.
Okay, under on that. We're showing 146 on the screen, as always. Shop around for these. That is a 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific tip-off for that one. Next.
Next, we are going to be going with a game out there that is going to be played between Toledo and Bradley. Bradley opened up right around a 3 to 3.5 point favorite. That's where this thing sits right now. Sean East is going to be eligible immediately for Bradley. He wound up while he was at UMass averaging right around 4.5 to 5 assists per game. I really like his overall game. And then with Toledo, you're going to be having the fighting Marion Jacksons, and that's about it. He's a terrific player. Shot nearly 40% from 3-point range, nearly 20 points per game, but you lose Luke Kanapke. He was a guy that was 6'9". He was able to do a great job of shooting threes for Toledo. AJ Ito is going to be back after he missed the 2019-20 season due to injury. Showed some promise as a freshman down low, but I take a look at this Bradley team. Elijah Childs is going to be coming back. He wound up giving the team just below 16 points, 8 rebounds per game. I like what he's going to be able to bring to the table. You bring back a lot of that 3-point shooting. I recognize that Darryl Brown is going to be out of the fold, but with this Bradley team, I think that they're very well coached. Brian Wardle, one of the more underrated guys out there in college basketball, and Bradley back to back Missouri Valley Conference Tournament champions. We're going to be laying the small number here between 3 and 3.5 with the Braves.
Okay, let me just give rotation numbers before we get too far along here for people, because college basketball, of course, there's a bajillion games, even with all the cancellations. So the South Dakota State, West Virginia under, that's 825, 826 for rotation numbers. Bradley, minus the 3, that's your play? Or if you...
minus 3, yep.
Yeah, I see there's a few. Let me make sure that it's 3. Yeah, I see 3s out there. Bradley minus 3 against Toledo. That's 618 is Bradley. Okay. Just to save some people time from scrolling back and forth. We run into this problem every college basketball season. Number 3, sir.
We're going to be going with UCLA laying the points here against San Diego State with the Aztecs. This is a bunch that, as we know, they wound up having an absolutely terrific year last year. But with the Aztecs, you wind up losing so many of those guys. Malachi Flynn was absolutely tremendous in the backcourt. He's going to be replaced by Terrell Gomez. Gomez was able to do a very good job at CSUN, better known as Cal State Northridge. But this is going to be a big step up in competition after he shot over 40% from three-point range, doled out over four assists per game with Matt Mitchell. He's going to be able to help him out a little bit, but I really like the way that this UCLA team came on strong towards the back half of the 2019-20 season. Mick Cronin did truly a terrific job with them. You bring back Chris Smith. Tiger Campbell is a guy that doled out five assists per game as a freshman. This one is 685, 686 on the rotation. As I'm seeing a pretty much three across the board, you might be able to find a straight 2.5, but I'm seeing mostly three. I think the UCLA should be able to cover whether you get 2.5, three, would take it up to 3.5 as well.
Yeah, it's three everywhere right now. And by the way, Matt Eumanns, you and he match on that. He had UCLA in this game yesterday when he was on the show. That's a that's the late game. That's the latest of all the games today, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, 7:30 Pacific. If you want some late night, actually there was one scheduled later, but that's been scuttled. But if you want some late night Thanksgiving Eve action, that's the one. Next.
We're going to be going with the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech. As I'm seeing it, they're laying 8 across the board, 677, 678 on the betting board with Georgia Tech. This is a team that they're going to make your life nightmarish on offense. You've got a Georgia State team that they just don't have a lot down low to be had. Now, you do wind up losing James Banks III for Georgia Tech, but you've got Jose Alvarado back out there in the backcourt. This is a guy that he's able to give you on average about 2 steals per game. He is a guy that feels like has been at Georgia Tech forever. Jordan Usher wound up coming in after the first semester. He's a transfer from USC. He's going to now have a full season under his belt. And Michael DeVoe, over 40% three-point shooter, 16 points per game. And ever since Josh Pastor wound up taking over at Georgia Tech, in his 4 years, Georgia Tech has covered over 60% of their games. They're a team that they just get no respect whatsoever because they're out there in the ACC. They get lost in the shuffle of North Carolina, Duke, Virginia, what have you. And as a result, there's always a lot of value on this Georgia Tech team. I think that's the case once again here, and I'm laying the points with the Yellow Jackets.
By the way, are you also an encyclopedia of historical college basketball, or are you just present day? Like if I said to you, Bobby Kremins, do you know who that is?
I recognize the name Bobby Kremins. I wouldn't be able to give you a whole ton on him, but certainly know who that is.
John Sally, Mark Price, Bruce Dalrymple?
Oh, no? John Sally, heck yes. I know that John Sally... son, I believe, was playing out there in the SWAC a couple years ago. So that's actually very interesting.
Bobby Kremins and all those players I just mentioned were part of Georgia Tech's greatest teams back in the day in the 80s. I just want to point that out. All right, so Georgia Tech is the call there at -8?
Yes, sir.
All right, and well, let's see if we can squeeze in one more. Number five.
We're going to be going against my home state, Wisconsin Badgers. Eastern Illinois is catching 20.5 points. I just think that this is a couple too many with Wisconsin. No doubt you've got quite a few guys that are returning from last year's team. And they really took off after Micah Potter got into the fold. They were 5-5 without him, 16-5 when he got out there. But this is just a couple too many points playing against an Eastern Illinois team that each other top six scorers last year were juniors. And five of those guys are back. Josiah Wallace is a guy that's able to throw it in there, 15.5 points per game. They need to cut down on the turnovers. They were a little bit happy with that regard, but Marvin Johnson is a guy that I think is going to be able to do a good job of facilitating the offense. If they're just able to play even up on the glass in Wisconsin, they have Nate Reavers, but Nate Reavers at 6'11" is a little bit more of a stretch guy. If they're just able to hold their own on the glass, this should be a very interesting game. Taking the points with the Panthers out there in the Ohio Valley Conference, and that's 681, 682 on the betting rotation.
All right, let's review them all. This has been, I don't know if anybody else has enjoyed this. I've enjoyed the heck out of this. This has been great, Greg. 618, Bradley -3 against Toledo. Actually, let's start at the beginning. 825, 826, South Dakota State, West Virginia, under. Bradley 618 on the rotation, -3 versus Toledo. UCLA 686, -3 at San Diego State. 678, Georgia Tech -8 versus Georgia State. 681, Eastern Illinois +20.5 at Wisconsin. Did I do well?
You did very well.
All right, Greg, what's your day like? Do you just sit down now and watch hours upon hours of college basketball? Is that how this works?
Absolutely, and then we'll bust out the adult beverages after all the games are done to celebrate.
You old enough to have those beverages, Greg? You old enough? You sure?
Barely.
Okay, just making sure. Greg Peterson, Greg, can't thank you enough. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Gil.
My man. Coming back, Jason Weingarten on his futures column, Chris Andrews on BYU hypothetical spreads against everybody ranked above them, and Michael Lombardi. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.